Good morning. This is Pastor Brad Ingram from the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem. Thank you for listening this morning, and let me invite you to join us in any of our services. If you don't have a church home, perhaps you're a new move into the area, we have Sunday school at 9:30. Our morning worship is at 10:30. Our evening worship is at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday evening prayer meeting and teen group is at 7 o'clock. And we invite you to come. We'd be certainly glad to have you. We are located at exit 196. If you're heading north on 71, you'll get off at the West Salem exit and make a left, and our church will be on your right about a quarter of a mile. And you're certainly welcome to come to any and all of our services. We are an independent Baptist church. We support missions. We believe in the authority of the Bible. And if that's the kind of church you're looking for, we invite you to come out and be with us. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want to bring a message today about a maid with a message. 2 Kings chapter number 5. If you have your Bible there, I'll begin reading at verse number 1, and I'll read through verse number 14. Quite a lengthy passage of Scripture here, but I believe it's needful in order to set up the context of the message that we'll be studying today. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told the Lord, saying, This and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them, and be clean? So he turned, and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash, and be clean? Then went he down, and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now that's 2 Kings chapter number 5. Remarkable account here given of Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, who was a leper, and he was made clean by the word of this prophet Elisha. By the way, Elisha is recorded to have done more miracles than his predecessor Elijah. Remember, when Elijah was taken up from the earth, the only request Elisha made was that a double portion of the spirit of Elijah would rest upon him, and God certainly granted that request. But in this story, I'm sure you have heard before, perhaps you've heard sermons and Sunday school lessons on the healing of Naaman, but I think there's an overlooked character here. I think there's someone who has not given very much attention in 2 Kings chapter 5, But if it had not been for this character, the events recorded here, the cleansing of Naaman and the glory it brought to God, would have never happened. And this overlooked character is the maid. Now, we're not even given this maid's name. We know nothing about her except that she had a message. And that's what Christians need to do today. We don't need to be worried about ourselves, our status, our kingdom that we're building here, what folks think of us. We are simply commissioned to have a message. And so we see this maid in 2 Kings chapter 5. She gave a message. And this morning I want us to look together at the message she gave. Now, first of all, I want you to see something in verse number 3. The maid recognized the need of Naaman. Verse 3, the Bible says, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You see, the maid saw a need and she responded to it. This maid did not close her eyes as if nothing had happened. This maid looked upon Naaman and realized he was a death sentence on legs. He had leprosy, a fatal illness in Bible days. And she said, "This man has a need, and I realize I know how he can be recovered." But now that's a lesson for us today. Many Christians simply just close their eyes about the need of others. If we say we believe in heaven and hell, if we say we believe that salvation is only through Jesus Christ, then we have to realize all those who are outside of Christ are going to perish. But we don't choose to see the need. I think so many times we just turn the other way and we live in our own Christian circles, our own Christian communities, and we never do look outside for those who have a need. But this maid was a remarkable maid because she saw and she recognized the need of Naaman. Now let me say something here about this maid. She was not prejudiced toward Naaman. She could have been, I suppose. She could have had anger toward Naaman because, after all, it was Naaman and his armies that carried her away from her family. It was the Syrians who took her away from her mother and her father and her homeland. It was these Syrians that took her away from the worship of her God, Jehovah. And I guess if anybody had a right to be angry from a human standpoint or to be prejudiced toward Naaman, it would have been this maid. You see, she was not prejudiced toward Naaman. She did not offer hostility. She did not simply say, "Well, let him die. He deserves to die. He deserves to die a very painful, slow death for what he'd done to me." No, she didn't say that at all. In her heart, she realized no matter what the man had done to her, she was going to return kindness unto him. And friends, there is no room whatsoever in the church of Jesus Christ for prejudice, for bias. The Bible still says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature needs a preacher. There is no room whatsoever to be prejudiced towards someone because of their race, because of their age, because of their background, education, wealth, whatever the case may be. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel, for the Bible teaches us that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And this maid here is quite a remarkable picture of what believers in Christ ought to be. She recognized the need, and she was not prejudiced. Now, let me give you something else in verse 3. The Bible says, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This maid not only recognized the need, she realized that she had a responsibility. Now, this maid came to her mistress, and she did not simply express sympathy for Naaman's condition, but she said to her mistress, "I know how Naaman can be healed. I have knowledge of a prophet in Israel." Now, why did this maid have a responsibility? That's the question I want to pose to you. Why did this maid have an obligation and a responsibility to tell her mistress that her husband Naaman could be cleansed? Well, she had a responsibility because she had knowledge. What did she have knowledge about? She had knowledge that there was a prophet in Israel who had done miracles. She realized there was a God in heaven who had performed miracles. And because she had this knowledge, she was responsible for it. Do you realize that knowledge brings with it responsibility? The Bible tells us that we are not to be as those who simply hear the word, but we are to be doers of the word as well. As we hear the word as it is preached and taught to us, we're given knowledge. And with that knowledge, the Lord expects us to obey and put it into practice. Now, this maid had been a witness to the power of God through Elisha. And because she knew without a doubt that Elisha was a man of God and that the power of God was upon him, she herself was directly responsible for the news that she was giving to her mistress, the good news that her husband Naaman could be cleansed. I want you to hold your place here in 2 Kings chapter 5, and if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 12. I want to give you something here concerning this responsibility that Christians have. The Lord said in Luke chapter 12, verse number 41, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, When then is that faithful and wise steward, whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." That's very clear. The Lord himself said, the servant which knew his Lord's will, but did not obey the Lord's will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now the other servant, he was beaten with stripes as well, but the Bible says he was beaten with few stripes. Now why is that so? Because the second servant had no knowledge of his master's will. He did not know exactly what was required of him. And although his behavior brought stripes, it did not bring as many because much was not required of him. And so I see here these two servants the Lord told us about, each had a different level of understanding concerning their master. They did not possess the same knowledge, but they both did those things worthy of stripes. And I take that principle and go back to this maid in 2 Kings chapter 5, and she had knowledge. If she had refused to open her mouth and tell the mistress about the prophet in Israel, she would have been disobeying the knowledge she has. God expects us as believers who know his word, who know what the Bible says about sin and salvation and redemption. If we stay silent after having this knowledge, the Lord will be the more displeased with us, and I believe our chastisement will be greater because we have knowledge. The Bible said here again in Luke chapter 12, of whom much is given, much shall be required. Do you realize that every sermon you hear, every Bible lesson you hear, every gospel song that you hear, if the song teaches Bible truth, you're responsible for? Do you realize that everything that you hear concerning the Bible, if it's good Bible teaching, you're responsible for? The Lord told his disciples, be careful how you hear. He did not say, be careful what you hear. He said, be careful how you hear. What he was saying is, don't hear the teaching, don't hear the word, if you do not intend on obeying it. It's much better for you to not even look into the word of God if you do not intend on obeying it. That's what the Lord said to the church at Laodicea, I would that thou wert hot or cold. Many Christians are content to be lukewarm, but Jesus said, I'd rather you be completely frozen against me, or I would prefer you be on fire for me. And there's no middle ground. But this maid is quite remarkable because she had a responsibility. Her responsibility came from the fact that she knew something that Naaman did not know. Do you realize there's folks all around us that do not know that Christ came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death, was buried, and rose bodily from the grave? Now, we take those things as commonplace. I was saved as a very young child. Perhaps you were too. And these truths just come natural to us. We've heard them all our life. We could quote the verses. We could quote the doctrines. We know exactly what the Bible teaches about salvation. But just because we know it does not mean everybody around us knows it. And we have a great responsibility to these people who have never heard. We have a responsibility to give them the gospel, the good news that saved us. And folks, let me say again, I don't want to belabor this point very long, but this maid recognized she had knowledge, and therefore that knowledge put a great responsibility upon her. And when she obeyed this knowledge, and when she obeyed the responsibility she had when she carried that out, look what happened. It gave a man his life back. Now, I want you to see this also in verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 5. There's so many truths here in verse number 3. I wish I could teach through every verse here, but time will not permit it. But 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 3, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, if you have a Bible here, you'll notice that after the word Samaria there in verse 3, there's an exclamation mark. Now, this is a sign of excitement and of affirmation. What this maid had was she had confidence in her message. She was emphatic about it. She had no doubts whatsoever that if Naaman were to go to this prophet of God, Elisha, he would be healed. And I believe that was a convincing argument for this mistress. I believe that she saw this maid, believed what she was saying. How else can you explain how this maid, this servant girl with an unknown name, could come all the way to the king? How do you suppose her message, really just a nobody in the kingdom, how could her message make it all the way to the king of Syria? I believe because as she gave her message, folks around her saw one thing. They saw that she had confidence in the message she was giving. She did not doubt it. She did not speculate. She had no reservations about it whatsoever. She said, if my master, if Naaman can get to the prophet of God, he will recover him of his leprosy. No doubt whatsoever. And I'm afraid that sometimes when we talk to folks about salvation, we're sort of unsure about it ourselves. But we don't have to be. We can be just as emphatic as this maid was. We can say very clearly and very assuredly that if men will come to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I wonder how much confidence we have in giving our message. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, the Bible says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" In this day, the trumpet was used to summon the troops to battle, to a conquest, or to a retaliation, or to a retreat. And so the soldiers had to know what each trumpet blast was calling them to do. But if the trumpeter gave an uncertain sound, then the soldiers would get confused and they would not know clearly exactly what their commanding officer wanted them to do. And that's the way it is with us giving the gospel. We have to give a very certain sound. There is no room in the gospel message for hesitation, for doubt, for reluctance. We must say to men and women that the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord." As you read the Lord's words, you realize that He never doubted what He said. The Lord never did have second thoughts about what He had said. When the Lord said it, it was so, and it would come to pass. So when you have the Bible, and you give men and women these verses, you can be just as confident as God Himself was when He told the Bible writers exactly what to write. Isn't that a thought? You can have as much confidence in the Word of God as God Himself does, because the Bible says His Word is settled in heaven. It's not up for debate. And when we talk to men and women about the great themes of the Bible, about certain Bible doctrines, we don't have to be ashamed. Now, just because we believe our message does not mean everybody we give it to will believe. But I think the great objective in being a witness for Christ, the great objective in soul winning, is not so much to ensure your believers, the one you talk to, the hearers, believe your message. I hope they do. I pray everybody you witness to believes and comes to Christ by faith. But I believe the great objection is not that your hearers believe your message. The great objective is to ensure you and assure your hearers that you believe your message. And I believe, again, that's the great objective. Those folks that you witness to, they may not believe you, but they ought to know that you believe what you're saying. The trumpet they hear ought to give a certain sound concerning the gospel as you present it. I think about the Apostle Paul as he stood on Mars Hill there. He very plainly and very assuredly declared unto these people that he was making known the unknown God. Over and over again, you'll find the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John pointing people to Christ and plainly declaring that without Christ, there is no salvation. These men were sure of what they said. And think about this mate again. I can see her. I can see the light in her eyes. I can see the urgency in her voice. I can see there's a certain amount of confidence here. And when the mistress, when Naaman's wife saw this, I'm sure she was moved to action. And I see here the maid did not simply speculate as to whether or not Naaman could be healed. She did not simply suggest something that may or may not work. She said very emphatically, "Would to God that my master was with the prophet in Israel, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, how much confidence do you have in the message you give? How much confidence do you have in the Word of God itself? If you're of this sort that questions portions of the Bible, if you're of this sort that brings into doubt different verses and different passages just because higher scholars or whatever the case may be have convinced you that the Bible is not reliable, well, friends, I urge you to read it for yourself. Read the Bible for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit within you, if you've been born again, to teach you the principles and precepts of this book. Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I believe every word in this Bible. I believe from Genesis to Revelation. I believe it's God's word. Folks, I say this in love. If I didn't believe it, I'd never preach again. If I didn't believe it, I'd resign the church I pastor and I would get an honest living somewhere. I would be a crook and a hypocrite to keep accepting a salary from a church if I don't believe the Bible myself. But I believe it. I believe it because it is God's Word. I believe it because the Bible teaches its own inspiration. I believe it because the Bible says the Word of God is perfect. I believe it because the Scripture teaches us that God has exalted His Word above His name. For these reasons and so many more, I believe the Word of God. I'm certain about that. I'm settled about it. But maybe today you're not. Maybe you begin to speculate and criticize different passages of Scripture. Can I urge you to get on your knees before God and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and to guide you in all truth, which is what the Lord Jesus said He would do through the Holy Spirit? And then let me give you this finally. If you're still there in 2 Kings chapter 5, look at verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Remarkable truth here. This maid, this unknown servant, this unnamed servant, gave her message of hope while she was in a strange land. This maid was not in Israel. This maid was a captive in Syria. This maid was in a pagan land that did not worship, did not serve Jehovah God. They had their gods. They were wicked people. They were committing abominable practices. But it was in that wicked land, it was in that very country to which she was carried away, that she gave her message. And friends, let me remind you, the Bible teaches that we also are just pilgrims in a strange land. Do you realize that we are here just for a time? We're just passing through. Believers ought not never drive a stake too deep in this earth. Believers ought not fall in love with this earth. It'll always break your heart. We're just passing through. Why does God allow His children to linger here, to linger on this planet of sorrow and heartache? Why does He allow us to linger? Why doesn't He just take us to heaven when we trust Christ? Because there's a work to do here. And as we pass through this sphere, We're supposed to give men the gospel. We're supposed to give men the good news of Christ. And just as this maid had confidence that Elisha would cure her master of leprosy, we have confidence that Christ will cure all men of sin if they'll come to him by faith. And again, let me say, this was not coincidence. This was not coincidence that this young maid ended up in the palace in the home of Naaman. I believe God orchestrated this to bring himself glory. And when this is over, when Naaman is in fact healed, look at what the Bible says in verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. What Naaman said here was, Now I'm convinced. I'm firmly settled on this truth. There is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And folks, that's what God is working toward. God is not working for my comfort. He's not working for your comfort. He's working for his own glory. The Bible says, Truly as I live, said the Lord, the whole earth will be full of my glory. And that's what he's doing here in 2 Kings chapter 5. He orchestrated these events to bring himself glory. And I wonder how your life is exalting Christ. How much of your life is exalting the Lord who saved you? I'm afraid a lot of us are working to exalt ourselves. We're working to get glory unto ourselves. We're missing it. Folks, we're missing the purpose of God in this age. We're missing the fact that God has intended our lives to bring glory to him. And I see here in this verse number 2, this young maiden was in a strange land far from home. If she had had her wish, no doubt she would have been back in Israel with her family. She would have been back in Israel and worshiped the true God, but she wasn't. Now, folks, if I had my wish, I'd be in heaven now. If I had my wish, my family would be in heaven with me, my children, my wife. But he's left us here. We have a purpose here. And I know not what the purpose is, except it be to witness for others. There is no other purpose I know of than that to be a witness unto Christ and unto his gospel. And let me leave you with this today. As we see this chapter, we find out the Bible says in verse 1 that Naaman was a mighty man. He was a great captain, but he was a leper. Leprosy did not pay any mind to rank or to position or to knowledge. And leprosy is a type of sin. Sin does not pay any mind to your wealth, or to your intellect, or to your pedigree. Whatever the case may be, sin pays no mind. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and only the blood of Christ can redeem and cleanse us from the sin, because the Bible said without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And folks, I want to say today and lovingly, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We were born sinners, but only Christ can take away that sin forever. Now let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the folks listening today. I pray that this lesson has been a blessing to them. Lord, I'm grateful that they would listen today to the Bible teaching. Help us now to take lessons from this maid, and may we find out the truth she found out, that we're to give everybody the gospel. No matter their response or reaction, we're to give men the gospel that will save the earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.